Welcome to Sounding Off with Kim Munson. Be sure and check out the podcast on my website, kimmunson.com. That's M-O-N-S-O-N.com. And I am thrilled to have on the line with me this morning, Jen Hewlin. You know her. She is the owner of Water's Edge Winery. And she has really become a lightning rod for freedom because she has been opening her winery. It's her own small business during this whole shutdown that we've had in Colorado. And Jen Hewlin, welcome to the podcast.
Well, good morning, Kim. Thank you so much. I appreciate your opportunity of telling my story.
So let's talk a bit about your story. Let's talk about your winery and how long have you been in business and what was your dream when you opened it up?
Okay. So, back in 2012, I believe it was, or maybe even right before then, my husband and I had moved to Seattle. So he was transferred for his job. And while we were out there, the weather was pretty horrible and we would go wine tasting every weekend. And he was given a nice, comfortable raise that allowed me to not have to continue working in marketing, which I had been doing for over 20 years. I'm kind of burnt out in that field. And I remember one weekend he said, you know, now's your opportunity. You've always talked about being a business owner. What do you want to do? And we happened to be standing in a wine room, and I was in my happy place drinking wine. And I said, you know, I would love to own a winery. I've always had a romantic idea of, you know, from the movies, the rolling hills and the grapes and creating a space for people. So anyway, long story short, I said, how about a winery? And he said, well, let's do that. You know, I totally support you. And I said, and I want you to make my wine. And he said, okay. So that was in Seattle back in like 2011, 2012, we moved back to Colorado. I missed the sun and what I felt like was my home. And that's when we opened Water's Edge Winery. So it was actually 2015 by the time we got it open.
And how has it been being a small business owner?
It is probably one of the most amazing things I've ever done and definitely the hardest thing I've ever done. You know, a lot of people think, oh, I'm going to quit my 40-hour-a-week job so I don't have to work for the man. I'm going to be the man. And you quickly find out that you're only the man about 5 minutes before you open and about 10 minutes after you close. You know, you're there to serve the community and your customers. So it's been wonderful. It's been, again, the hardest thing I've ever done. But so rewarding, the amount of hours and the love and the blood and the sweat and the tears, to be cliche. But literally, I've bled, sweat, and cried over this business many times. And but it's been a labor of love, and we've created an award-winning winery. It's been absolutely rewarding. And just being a business owner and part of the community, somebody who creates wealth for other people, and just the challenge of, you know, gosh, I was horrible at accounting in college. It was one of my least favorite topics. So having to, you don't just do one job. You're not just an accountant. You're not just cleaning toilets. You are doing cleaning the toilets, and you're hiring fix-it people, and you're hiring and firing people. You're doing PR and accounting. I already said that. Advertising. I mean, you wear all of the hats. And actually, somebody joked with me years ago, how do you know who the owner is at a business, a small business? And I said, how? And they said, because they usually have a mop in their hand. So it's not glamorous, that is for sure. It's not glamorous, but it's very rewarding.
So you've been in business since 2015, and how many employees do you have?
Well, at the present time, there's only four of us. I've lost a couple of them to just people turnover. I had one girl. She was amazing, Andy, that was a financial planner and sweet girl. She's amazing at a waitress, but she's, you know, a really smart girl, and that's what she did for a living. She helps people with their wealth. But she worked from home and needed to get out on the weekends just to have sanity and be around people. And, of course, wine, you know. So she left for her job. And then, you know, my manager, Megan, who's been with me for about 4 years, she's actually pregnant. And when all of COVID-19 stuff happened, you know, people were talking about how dangerous it was for pregnant people and babies. And so for her own health, she decided to leave after dedicated responsibility to me for 4 years. She's an amazing girl, and we really miss her. But and then I also had a second kitchen staff. So when all of this started, and that's where we are now, and it's just, I need to rebuild my staff again. And my husband, he works for me as well. Hi, Chad. He actually is our winemaker. So he's been dedicated on the weekends and sometimes during the week, depending on what time of year it is, to come in and basically donate his time and energy to creating these amazing award-winning wines for us.
And it is. And it's a really magical place. You and I have become friends, and you're also a sponsor of the Kim Munson Show. I really appreciate that sponsorship as well, Jen. So COVID-19, Wuhan virus reaction, disruption occurs. What happens to you?
Well, at the very beginning, I think the whole world just kind of paused. It felt like a movie, and you hit pause to go make more popcorn. That's what it felt like. So everybody kind of stopped. My chef said one of his brothers had contracted the COVID-19. And we, of course, were like, oh, okay, we're all going to die, you know. So we shut down immediately and closed down for a week and got tested, and everybody tested negative. So, not all of us, but the chef itself said, okay, so the person that supposedly would have been the contact between him and his brother, the niece, tested negative. So if she didn't have it, then we didn't have it. So that was the gist, right? So that was a week. And then during that week, I was able to go in and clean and hyper, make sure, you know, organize. And you know, after 5 years, you get St. Patty's Day decorations stacked up in the corner that you need to deal with, that kind of a thing. So, and then we decided, well, if we're going to reopen, by then we had been kind of given a limited capacity order where we could do curbside to go and take and bakes and just that sort of thing. So looking at our menu, is this translatable to taking it home with you? You know, because a big part of the wine scene or the winery scene is you come in for tastings, you get an education. It's a place that's for grown-ups that you can get away from your children and maybe your nagging husband or wife, for that matter. So we were losing the social aspect of this, but we did our best to see how we could continue on and try to stay afloat with the understanding that, you know, we're going to be shut down for like 2 weeks. And that was, I think, right around March 17th or so. When it all started, actually March 17th was the beginning. We stayed open for a while and then we closed. Anyway, long story short. So we did that up until May 1st. We did curbside to go, and we put a lot of money and effort into all of the to-go packaging and signage and letting people know. I mean, just changing the way you do business after perfecting it for 5 years is hard. It's really hard to do. We did our best, and we did that for a little while.
Did it affect your bottom line?
Absolutely, yeah. So the month of April, which would have been the first full month that we were forced to stay closed, I pulled reports at the end of the month, and we were down to less than half of the sales that we had done previously. So, extremely. And, you know, my employees, every single one of them had to go on unemployment. So, and I know that kind of goes against the grain of a lot of these people. They're hardworking people. They don't want a handout. They just want to work. And, And they also, you know, we're at a limited capacity. I can't have people there if nobody's coming in. For many days, we would stand around for hours staring at each other. And, of course, as the mom at the winery, I'd say, you've got time to lean. You've got time to clean. And there's only so much cleaning you can do, right? So, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so now what is going on? Because you're becoming somewhat famous because you are wanting to work. You're wanting to have your business open, have your employees working. What has happened with that, Jen Hewlin, with Water's Edge Winery?
So a couple Sundays before the end of April, we had been seeing a lot of data that came out saying basically, you know, we were so wrong about the number of deaths from this virus. It wasn't millions of people that were going to get it. And then it was looking back over the ruling from our local government and even from the federal government, you know, it's, we need to flatten this curve. I think that came out of like the New York Times or something. They had the graph. And that became the buzzword that everybody on social media, flatten the curve, stay home, do me my part. But thinking people like me started looking at all this going, something's not adding up. So if the whole point of this was to stay home so we didn't overwhelm our hospitals, why is the local government and around the country shutting us down and being more draconian each time they push it out? So it seems like it went in 2-week intervals. And each time it was, we had a little bit less freedom. You know, it felt like I was a frog in a pot of cool water, but it was starting to heat up, but I was too dumb to jump out because I thought I was in a hot tub. I just kept looking at it, and I said, you know, I'm not. And I started talking to fellow business owners and people that I value their opinion, thinkers. I have many nurses in my family, so people on the front line. I have friends that are nurses. And everybody's starting to talk like, I don't know, this just doesn't seem right. Hospitals are not overwhelmed. Now, in some places they were, New York and back in Michigan where I'm from, I have a friend that worked in a really hot spot, and she was kind of freaked out and saying, you know, stay home and save lives. But the majority of the people in other states were saying, you know, gosh, our hospitals are laying people off. They're shutting down. We don't have the money. We're not doing elective surgeries. And then I started talking to people, like I have a friend of mine, her dad is ill. He has cancer and he needs his cancer treatments. And they weren't doing those while the shutdown was going on. And even though the hospital wasn't overwhelmed, it just wasn't adding up. And so so I started to talk to people. And then they had the, I think it was called the, what was the rally back in Michigan called? The not being at home or...
Yeah, I can't remember.
Whatever.
I'll try to find it. Yeah,
it was only a couple of weeks ago, but so I attended the rally downtown, and I was thinking, you know, I'm a conservative that values the Constitution, and whether or not I'm conservative or not doesn't matter. I'm a business owner, and I value my freedoms in the Constitution. And I kept thinking, this feels like a power grab. And I feel like over the years we've been watching all of our freedoms being stripped away. And I'm not fearful of this. I think the numbers are not adding up to the majority of us dying. I think it's like 0.02 or 0.2% even. And if you look at the numbers with 330 million people in our country, I'm not a number person off the top of my head, but even if a 500,000 or 1 million people die, that's still 229 million people that are losing their livelihoods and their lives, a lot of them. Child abuse is up, domestic abuse is up. People are talking about crime waves because of the economic impact of shutting us down. And I said, God, this just feels wrong. Maybe if we had the opportunity to open up and try it, right? Give us guidelines as businesses. We're responsible. Let's get open and let's see. I mean, and then that concept of herd immunity came out. Right? A lot of people, they'll hear people talking about that. What does that mean? What are we, buffalo? Bison? Right. It sounded like something out of an old movie, right? So I started looking into that, and what a great concept, this idea that, and it's not just a concept or idea, it's the truth. Herds, how they thrive and stay alive and do well is sometimes illnesses come through and it kills off the weak or the sick. And then the rest of them get some kind of immunity to it, right? And then the virus has nowhere to go and live, and it dies off, and it's gone. And that's exactly what I thought our government was trying to push us toward, was eradicating this, keeping people alive, and keeping hospitals, you know, in a good place to treat people that did get sick. But letting people get sick, you have to let them get sick, otherwise we have no immunity.
But on this, I just want to go back and clarify. You're talking generally about what they talk about, the herd immunity, and that would be, you know, throughout, you know, history, and a virus would come in and would attack the more vulnerable, and the way it used to work is they would die. But today now, there are treatments, and when COVID-19 was first happened, I think, as you mentioned, we all took a pause. It's like, okay, we don't want to overwhelm our hospitals. We want to figure out what is going on here, and we care deeply about our vulnerable. And so we marched through that. We shut everything down. People say we'll stay home until we could figure that out. And then as we walked through this, like if there's a treatment, this hydroxychloroquine was looking like it was having great results with the vulnerable.
So then this concept came out of herd immunity. And, you know, I was like, what is that? I haven't heard that term in many years. I had biology class back in college many years ago. And so I started looking into the concept and the idea that people needed to go out into public to get sick, just like we do every year with the flu and new viruses, and you build up antibodies, and the cold, and we build up antibodies that helps our immune system stay strong against these things. And that's how it works. And you know, when you start crunching numbers and you look at the majority of people that will contract this are going to be okay. And many people that get it will have, because we're not overwhelming the hospitals, they have an opportunity to go and be treated for it as we're waiting for some, you know, miracle cure, although we don't know that they will have a cure. I mean, you can't cure the common cold, right? And we get flu shots every year, and sometimes they're spot on to help people not get the flu, but many times they're not. They're like, well, we can only vaccinate you against the strains that we know, and this one was a different one this year, so everybody got sick anyway. So anyway, I'm not a doctor, and I don't claim to be, but I do, again, have a lot of friends and family that are in the on the front lines and fighting the good fight to help people. And even those people at this stage have said to me, when they come by the winery to pick up their wine, or when I talk to my family on the phone, it's time to open up, because closing the economy is going to be even more deadly to our society than any disease can be. And that's kind of where I am. And that's why we decided to open up fully on May 1st.
So what happened when you did that?
Well, it was very scary and exciting, you know, exciting just to be getting back to work and having a purpose, a sense of pride, instead of just going to work and hanging out and playing games with my employees while we waited for people to slowly trickle in. We had a sense of purpose. And so I had to study the CDC guidelines. I had to look at all of the mandates. And I had an order from the governor from back in March 26 that when he started talking about shutting down businesses, there's a very important line in one of his edicts, and it says, you know, businesses shall close unless they need to be open to protect their assets and their business. And in my opinion, protecting my assets meant getting back to work. So because at this rate, had we continued on the way we were going, we would have lost everything. And not to be overly dramatic, but I do have a small business loan, and my home is the collateral for that. Are we going to lose our home? Are we going to be on the streets, right? And that's a very real and very scary idea for somebody that has been such a hard worker and who has just put so much into this business. My entire retirement fund went into opening this. I mean, everything that I've ever worked for, and it was just slipping away. And there's only so much you can do because other people were losing their jobs and they weren't getting back to work. So even though I was open, maybe people were like, you know, we've got to really hunker down and have ramen noodles because Dad lost his job. And, you know, it's scary times for everybody is really where we are.
Okay. So okay. You opened up and tell us about the face covering situation there at Water's Edge Winery.
Right. So initially, I remember early on in all of this, there was kind of a public shaming thing. I remember it was early on we were flying. It was so way early. I think it was February, beginning of March. And a couple people, it just started really getting serious. And people got off the plane with masks on. And I remember chuckling because, again, with family members in the health industry, they specifically said, like, wearing masks, unless you've got the serious, I think it's the N95, and there's another one that actually filters out viruses or micro particles that are so tiny that, you know, they can just go through like t-shirt material or even polyester, I mean, whatever different materials are out there. And that was, what, a month and a half ago. So, and the CDC and the WHO came out and said, do not wear masks. These are not helpful. It's more dangerous because you're touching your face all the time if you have a mask on. And now all of a sudden our whole state has gone insane and they're forcing people to wear masks, even though it does no good. And the funny thing is everybody knows it. So I went to Sam's Club yesterday and I said, I have trouble breathing just in general because I'm kind of claustrophobic and I do not prefer to wear a mask. And they said, you cannot come in. We are in Denver County and it's an edict. Or actually, they said it's a law, and I argued back a little, and the guy said, well, we are private business. I said, I understand that. I'm a business owner. But this is for no reason. I mean, everybody knows that wearing a mask, you touch your face more, it doesn't fit well, you're breathing your own carbon dioxide, especially for us here in Colorado with very low concentrations of O2, it's more difficult for a lot of people to be able to breathe. And so anyway, that's another whole thing. But so I'm about freedom and choice, and I've given the freedom to wear a mask or not wear a mask to my employees. I've also given them the freedom to choose to work with me, or they are all on some sort of unemployment. I said, look, if you guys are not comfortable with this, let me know. At no time would I ever do anything to put your life at risk. And they all want to work. That's what they want. And they don't prefer to wear masks. But I did ask them when we first opened up, if you could please have a mask with you so that way if our customer comes in and they are uncomfortable that you're not wearing one, you can pull it up when you're at their table. And they all agreed to do that. So that's kind of where we are. But for personal reasons, I choose to not wear a mask. I don't believe wearing a mask is going to do anything. And back to the herd immunity, I think we all need to, at some point, sooner or later, get this virus so we can build up immunity to it, or at least get a vaccination for it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what's going on now with the politicians and bureaucrats?
Yes. Well, jokingly, the other day I said, what plague are we at now? We've got murder hornets and killer viruses. So I've basically kicked the hornet's nest by opening against the draconian measures of the governor and Tri-County Health. I've started a firestorm of attention that I personally did not want. I just wanted to get back to work. But now, whether it's people that are for me or against me, there is a lot of activity, for lack of a better word. I've been attacked. People are so scared, and you know, you see them there. They have fear in their eyes when you're out at the grocery store. If you come down the aisle while they're in it, it's the most amazing thing to witness. And those people, when they found out that I was open, they are horrible, attacking me, calling me at work, leaving nasty messages. I've been called names that I would never repeat. And it's scary. But for every one of those, there's 10 people saying, thank you, you're doing the right thing. This is what we should all be doing. We need to get back to work. We need to open our businesses. I want my family to thrive. And we are not afraid. We want choice. And it's all about having the freedom to choose if they want to come to my business or if they want to stay home. And that's all I want. That's all I want. Is for a place for people to go to get out of their house, because, you know, mental health is just as important as physical health. And I'll tell you, I've watched some of the most amazing friends of mine that are strong, powerful, wonderful, stable human beings that are breaking down crying late at night because they just can't one more minute watch their freedoms erode or watch their neighbors ratting on each other. And they're not afraid. They'd rather live a dangerous freedom than a peaceful slavery. And they feel like they've been enslaved in their homes by the governors and the health department.
So the governor and the health department's taken a good look at you, though, and it looks like you might need some help with legal bills, correct?
That is correct. I'm not the type of person that likes to ask for help. I will do everything on
my
own.
So I'm gonna ask for you, okay?
okay. But yeah, so here's where we are. So as of last Friday, the first day I opened, I got a call from the health department. It's Tri-County Health. And after they pulled some kind of, I don't remember exactly. I believe they said there are three counties there, Adams, Arapahoe, and Douglas. And basically, Douglas, being the most conservative of the three, said, no, we're going to let people open. And Tri-County Health said, well, we disagree with that, but I don't know if Douglas County just has strong people there that said no and just put their foot down. And so Tri-County Health pulled back. But my county, which is Arapahoe County, said, in all fairness, we do have considerable number of people that that have contracted COVID. And I'm not exactly sure what the data is, if we have a lot of infirmed or elderly, or because our county is larger than the others. I'm not exactly sure, but we do have a lot of people that have contracted it. And I understand why. I'm not willy-nilly. I'm not just trying to be like foolhardy about it. But the reality is a lot of people get it and never even show signs, or even if they do show signs, they recover very handily within a week. I mean, they feel really bad with like the flu, but we had that going around the winery last year. I remember each one of us was sick and then we got very sick again. And maybe at Christmas this year, all of my employees were very sick again. So, I mean, when you work with the public, that's just the nature of the beast. As much as you wash your hands and try to keep distance in general. So the health department contacted me and told me to cease and desist. But I felt like a giant boulder started rolling downhill, and I was that boulder. Mm-hmm. And it was picking up momentum, and people from outside of the state, from across the United States, have reached out to me to say thank you, to say that they feel like what I am doing is part of history, is part of keeping our freedoms intact. And you know, that's not what I set out to do. I really just wanted to open my business and save the lives of my employees and myself and all of the good people that come in and have a night out with their husband or wife or friends to stay sane. But at this point, it sounds like, people are... they're chomping at the bit. They're ready to take back their freedom, and they want to live like free people do. They don't want to be holed up in their house waiting for somebody in a bureaucracy telling them that it's okay to go outside again. It's okay to not wear a mask. It's okay to not fear your neighbor. Or it's okay to turn in your neighbor, for that matter. People don't want to live that way. So that's where we are.
So cease and desist. So what's going to happen here? Are they going to try to close you down, fines, jail? What are you seeing on that?
So it sounds like health department, I've since taken on an attorney, Randy Corcoran, a local constitutional attorney, and he is working hard for me and trying to find a way to argue the Constitution and my personal property rights to be able to open against these edicts. They're not laws, and so there's a lot of question marks of how valid are they, that they can strip me as an American, excuse me, citizen of my property rights, my right to assemble. They've basically taken away my property without due process. And there's something, a really important document in place that keeps government from being able to do that. And right now, it's almost like people are using it for a toilet paper since there's a shortage. That's a scary thing, right? So the liquor department is the most recent addition. So now I feel like the state is pulling out all of their guns and they're saying, okay, well, you've got a liquor license and you've got a food license, and we're going to threaten you now with that, because even though we told you to stay home, and because we're flattening the curve, and we told you that we would open you back up, and then we pushed it out, and then we said we're going to do it 2 weeks from now, and then they pushed it out. None of that has come to fruition. We're all still closed. And so that's kind of where we are. So I'm being threatened, and I have a lawyer looking into it. But I'm shocked and amazed and dismayed, if you will, that I'm in a position where I now have to spend more money to defend myself for the rights that were guaranteed by the founding fathers, by our Constitution. I don't understand how we all so easily and so quickly rolled over and laid down and said, oh, okay, I'm scared, so none of my constitutional rights matter anymore.
Well, you know, there's a couple of different quotes that are coming to mind. One was a Ben Franklin quote. He said, I'd rather live well than live long. And the other is, I would rather die on my feet than live on my knees. And those are quotes from free people. And so I know you've got some special wine bottles that are really clever labels that I describe those just a little bit, Jen.
Well, one of the things we do at the winery is we can do personalized labels. And there's really wonderful memes rolling around the internet. One of my favorite things about social media is the clever and funniness that happens out there. And I love funny dog videos. That's kind of my weakness. But there's some really fun ones. I have one. Some lady actually asked me to make it for her, and I just kept it and put it on additional bottles. And it says, peaceful... it's kind of what you just said, is dangerous freedom over peaceful slavery. And it's the shadow of American flag in the background. I also found one that was very clever, and it's a picture of a police officer, and it says, you've had too much to think, as in like to drink. And it's thought police, right? So people are ratting on their neighbors just for talking about getting back to work and staying open. I think I had over 17 complaints to the health department, they said. So 17 of my wonderful neighbors, instead of saying, hey, you go live your life, and those people are choosing to be at your winery. I actually had somebody say, not I was endangering people and that they were fearful of that. Her complaint was her son had to miss prom, and they had just done a drive-by parade for the teacher. And that's what they chose to do to celebrate. And I think that's wonderful. Everybody should have the choice to do what they'd like. But she said it's not fair that adults are being irresponsible and being outside together, out in my back parking lot, which I don't think I addressed when I opened. I actually did this with all of the CDC guidelines, social distancing, and talking about the sunlight and the heat actually kills the virus. So I have taken the majority of my indoor tables and made an outdoor patio so people can sit in the sun. And I know it's not exactly the rules, but it's a way that I thought I could address how to stay in business and how to continue to focus on the health of my guests. And I would say that based on the CDC and the WHO, this is exactly what we need to be doing. Places like mine, we need to have the rules and regulations limited or opened up so we can be creative, give us guidelines, and we will follow those to keep people safe. We literally do that every day because we already, that's our focus, right? We feed people. So health and well-being of customers, if everybody got sick at my place, they would never come back. So that's what I did. I put people outside. And so this woman saw people. They drove by after they did this parade and said, shame on you. My kid had to miss prom.
Wow.
So, I know. I wonder if she thinks about, my dad missed prom because he was drafted to go to Vietnam. So I wonder if, like, her kid missing prom is more dramatic to her.
You think, oh my gosh. So, well, Jen, we are out of time. So, first of all, we are setting up a Freedom Fi funding campaign for you. And Freedom Fi is the funding source that's the freedom side of a GoFundMe. GoFundMe is really run by kind of people to the left. And so Freedom Fi is for people that love freedom. And so it's Freedom Fi, and it is Help Gin and Water's Edge Winery. And this will be raising funds for you for your legal bills, as well as if you, you know, need money for operating or whatever. So this is a way people can help you. So go to Freedom Fi, and the campaign is Help Gin and Water's Edge Winery. So Jen Hewlin, Water's Edge Winery, what's your final thoughts you'd like to leave with everyone?
Well, I'd like to say this. I think, first of all, thank you for all that you do. What you do is God's work. And it's scary, I'm sure, even for yourself to be out in public and talking. I mean, it's funny that it's dangerous to talk about freedom now. But thank you for what you do. Thank you for pulling together and doing this. And I am humbled. I'm absolutely humbled by the amount of support and people out there that also love freedom and that are on our side. And I think people have been quiet or afraid to speak up, and they're coming out of the woodwork now. These are people that really do have sat, they've had time because they've been sitting at home to think about what this is doing to everybody, and they want us to be open. They want us to be free. And so thank you to all of you.
So that Freedom Fi campaign is Help Gin and Water's Edge Winery. And Water's Edge Winery is located on Arapahoe Road, just west of University and just to the north of South Glen. So, or the streets at South Glen. So, Jen Hewlin, yes, thank you so much and good luck on all this.
Thank you, Kim. I really appreciate you.
Okay. I appreciate you too. So this is Sounding Off with Kim Munson, and stay tuned for the next podcast. Okay.